is recognized in the United Church of Canada as Children's Sunday, but I think every day is Children's Day and Children's Weekend and Children's Sunday, maybe because a lot of times I act like a child, and there's nothing wrong with that. On Children's Sunday, we are supposed to pause and think about the blessings of having children, not only in our lives, but in our community, and that we here have a junior church program where we lift up the stories of our children and our youth. Today, we also have some celebrations to make note of. Now, last week, there was a lady in the congregation that thought for sure someone had ratted her out on her birthday, but they did not, and then she ratted herself out as we had a conversation after worship for our reception. Sharon, happy birthday! Now, Barb is not able to be here today, but make sure Barb knows that we are wishing her a happy birthday as well. So Barb's not able to be with us, but it was her birthday this past week, and so we wish her happy birthday. And then coming up on November the 21st, our amazing custodian, or as we like to say, our caretaker, Amand's birthday. And I know, watching online and making sure on the big screen at home, Ron Stubbs has a birthday on November the 22nd. So let's wave and we'll clap. Happy birthday. Are there any other birthdays that we should make note of today? Any other birthdays? No one's pointing at anyone? If you're celebrating a birthday at home as well, we will sing together, "Happy Birthday, Dear Friends."
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear friends, happy birthday to you.
As a Christian family, we journey with one another through the hills and the valleys of our lives. We celebrate together, and we also share our struggles. We also journey with those who are in mourning. And the family of Arnold Campbell have asked me to pause today and to lift up his life and the celebration of his life and welcome you all to that service that will take place on November the 18th, Tuesday, at 11 o'clock here. We offer our condolences, our sympathies, our prayers with Arnold's family, and we'll continue to do that. Arnold was a wonderful person within this congregation who gave back, who listened, who made us laugh, and we'll never forget him. All blessings. Amen. With deep gratitude and respect, Trinity United Church Summerside gathers and worships on unceded Mi'kmaq territory. Abigwit Prince Edward Island is covered by the historic treaties of peace and friendship. Let us prepare ourselves for worship. At the beginning of every service, we light the Christ candle as a sign and symbol of Christ's presence with us. I invite Harrison to light the Christ candle with me this morning, reminding us that we are commissioned to take that light out into the world in our thoughts and in our deeds. And don't you love a child running up to the front of the sanctuary just to light a Christ candle? I love that, Harrison. Thank you. The energy is contagious. You want to blow that one out? Good job. Thank you. please join me in the call to worship. Beloved of God, we are called here today. We are called at every age, from every corner, to gather. Children of God, let us playfully worship together, worshiping God who made each of us and loves all. God be with you, and also with you. Let us sing together. Please be seated. And please join me in the gathering prayer as printed on the screens, hopefully, and in the bulletin today. Let us pray. God of all the ages, we thank you for this day, for caring for us beautifully in this time. We praise your name for the gift of children in our lives and in our community. Forgive us for times when we discount their voices. Help us share your story with one another that we may remember your love written on our hearts. Remind us to follow children as they lead us to the living kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For those in our junior church program, or if you're visiting with us, ages 3 to 15, please come forward and find a spot, either on the stairs or in the front pews. I have something to share with you. Come forward. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much. I see folks bringing their food box program. Just a reminder that those in junior church are welcome to bring food box items every week as the offering as part of junior church program. Thank you so much for remembering. And if you've forgotten, that's okay. You can remember next week. That's all okay. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So one of the things that I get teased about all the time in the church here is I'm not a big fan of surprises. And every time they go to surprise me, like the M&P chair gets up and says something nice a couple of weeks ago, or Nancy hides flowers, or I go to a meeting and I get flowers. I love it after the fact, but I can feel a surprise is coming. You ever get that feeling that something's up, that someone's not telling you something? And you get that feeling, you go, I don't know if this is good, I don't know if this is bad, but something is not being told. And so sometimes surprises for myself can be like, if I know a surprise is coming, I feel a little bit better, I'm more prepared. But sometimes there's surprises when I was little, when I was a kid, that I loved. Does anybody know, ever gotten a surprise bag? Have you ever gotten a surprise? Yeah, surprise. In a candy store, exactly. A lot of times there's candy, or sometimes there's little toys, there's little surprises. You really don't know. It's in a bag that you can't see what's in it, but it makes noise, right? Can you tell me what's in it? No? Can you tell me what's in it? You can feel around, you can feel things in it, but can you tell me what's in it? You really don't know for sure, right? You know it's a surprise, though. You want to try it? What do you think, Harrison? Oh, maybe a stuffy? You don't know? It feels like a stuffy. Okay. So, yeah, so we don't, but we don't know for sure. What would I have to do in order to know for sure what was inside? Open it. That's what I'd have to do. In our story today that Phoebe's going to share with us is around Moses. And Moses is out doing just regular work. He's just out in the field. He's doing his thing. And all of a sudden, a bush starts to burn. Uh-oh. First thing, he's afraid. What's going on here? I'm out in the desert. I have to take care of these animals. And all of a sudden, this bush is on fire. But then the fire doesn't seem to be burning. And all of a sudden, he hears a voice from God, this a surprise, to say the least. This voice telling him, Moses, you are chosen. What do you mean, me? All of a sudden, it's like this surprise that goes from, uh-oh, what do I have to do? What's inside? What does God mean? We have to open it. And that's what Moses has to do. He has to be brave enough to be there at the bush and listening to God and respond to God. This week, I want you to think about that. All the surprises, and even when the church, which I love that they do that and they offer me those little surprises, is the feelings that come around that. The feelings before, where you're nervous going, something's up, I don't know what's up. Feelings during going, oh, now I'm expected to do something. How am I going to do that? And then the surprise of knowing that everything that we need is all within that time with God. Just like everything that's in this here, you might be able to use or like or been hoping for. I'm going to give it to your superintendent, Karen, and she's going to open it up in junior church, and she is going to share with you the contents of that. That sound good? Not only with all the kids, but all the youth and everyone, okay? Today, let us hear from Phoebe about that idea of surprise and gift and how we can respond to those gifts. Thank you, Phoebe.
The burning bush. Moses was watching his sheep in the hot, dry desert. Suddenly, he saw a very strange sight. Flames of fire came from a bush, but the bush did not burn up. Moses squinted his eyes. He looked around the bush one way, and he looked around the bush the other way. "Moses, Moses," said a loud voice. Moses was scared. "Here I am," he said. "Take off your shoes," the voice thundered. "The place where you're standing is holy ground." Moses kicked off his sandals, keeping his eyes on the flaming bush. "I am the God of your fathers," the voice said. Moses hid his face. He was afraid to look at God. "I have heard my people crying in Egypt," God said. "My people are hurting, and I have come to save them." "Wow," thought Moses. "How will God do this?" "Go," said God. "I'm sending you to Pharaoh to ask him to let my people go." "Me?" said Moses. Who am I go to the Pharaoh? Who am I to lead your people?" He threw himself down onto the ground before God, but he kept one eye on the burning bush. "I will be with you," God said. Moses trusted God. He was willing to do everything God said. God gave Moses the words and power he needed to talk to Pharaoh and lead the people out of Egypt.
Thank you. There's a huge part that Phoebe lifts up in that text today about not being afraid, because that's a big thing. One thing to be surprised, but then to respond and not be afraid, to know that you will not be alone, that you'll be supported, that you will be loved. And we're going to sing into that today. And by the time that we're done with the second time of singing through, you can head out to junior church. And thank you for listening.
Please join me in response of Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will I look for help?
My help comes from God, who has made heaven and earth.
God will not let your foot stumble. The one who protects Israel will not slumber.
The one who protects you will not slumber.
It is God who protects you, your defense at your right hand.
Thank you.
God will protect you from all evil. God will protect your life. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of my courses this semester has me wrestling with the Old Testament. I grappled with the Hebrew scriptures and contemplated why they were still in a worship service. I even went so far as to argue that the Old Testament scriptures may not have a place in everyday worship. I find it interesting today that the scripture I am tasked with preaching on is a reading from the Hebrew scriptures, one I studied. I must say I did have a little chuckle when I saw Exodus as the reading and thought, the Holy Spirit has a way of making a point and challenging my thoughts. If we look at today's scripture reading, Moses is doing everyday tasks, just hanging out, looking after his father-in-law, Jethro's flock, something that is a typical role and job for Moses. Moses is tending to this flock out in the wilderness on a mountain. Mount Horeb has been identified as the same as Mount Sinai, meaning the mountain of God. Throughout the Hebrew scriptures, this is where vital things take place. We see the inscription of the commandments on tablets, covenants made with God, and the story of the burning bush. This area becomes the place where the key events of Moses' story come to life, and his experiences become an incredible journey with God. As Moses is peacefully there on the mountain, this angel appears out of nowhere in a flame of fire from a bush. Picture this in your mind. How scary this would be. You are just out there minding your own business, doing a good deed for your father-in-law, and all of a sudden, not only is a bush on fire, but there is an angel image of the Lord in the fire of the bush. Moses takes a moment to gaze at the burning bush. To his next shock, as he looks at this bush, God starts to speak to him, calling out, "Moses, Moses." For me reading this, I could sense that if this scene happened to me, in all honesty, I might not answer. And I would probably have run away. But that's not what Moses does. He calmly says, "Here I am." As Moses speaks to God, God says, "Do not come any closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." The image and story of sandals throughout the Bible is not foreign to us. We see exchanges or references to sandals a few times. Even though we are currently sitting in the Old Testament, my first thought here was there is a connection. The sandals show the great respect between two people, perhaps even God's chosen people. If we jump out of this reading for a moment and take a minute to look outside of it, one thing that comes to my mind is John the Baptist in the New Testament. The story in the Gospel of Mark says that John baptizes people with water and then tells the people, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the strap of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Then I saw what I may have been missing all along. As I connected these two readings from the Old and New Testaments, I smiled. As my argument for not needing the Old Testament in worship or for preaching on it, as you can see, now is starting to unravel. As we go back to the reading in Exodus today, God says to Moses, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid of God. I think we can see why Moses would do this. Haven't we all done this? Moses knows at that point that God has chosen him. And perhaps, as many of us do, he feels that he is not worthy to have experiences with God or to feel that closeness to God. It is hard to grasp that one should believe in something that is often challenged and can't be seen. Moses says to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" Does this sound familiar to you? When people come up to you and ask you questions about your faith, what do you say? Do you ever catch yourself asking, "What should I say, God? What should I do, God? Are you listening to me, God?" Then God answers Moses by saying, "Tell them I sent you." This ongoing dialogue we have all experienced. We have all heard unhelpful answers, just as Moses did. God is there. Just have faith. Just pray over it. Everything will be okay. No wonder Moses questions God. Wouldn't you? But then God answers Moses and gives him reassurance. I am with you. We have all been Moses. God is saying to us, I lift my eyes to the hill, just like Moses was on the mountain, and we think to ourselves, just like Moses, where will my help come? God reassures us that our help will come from the Lord. Who will be with Moses when he asks the big questions about who sent him? Who will be with us when we are challenged to talk about our faith? God answers, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade. God will always tend to the flock. Even if some go astray, he can be led back. We are always invited and welcomed into God's presence. The Holy Spirit is always waiting to transform and shape us. Go into this week with the reminder that if we allow it, we will feel and know that God is always there with us. Go into this week knowing the Lord will keep you going for right now and forevermore. Amen.
Good morning. My name's Duncan McKillop. I'm the treasurer of our church. First of all, I'm going to take a look at the finances and the dollars that go through the church and some of the trends from previous year. But first of all, I want to thank this congregation for their generosity. I'm going to take a look at dollars, but that doesn't include the many hours of volunteer time that go into what we do here at Trinity. For example, in our outreach program, we have 70 volunteers that we can call on, plus there's many more volunteers and many more committees during the church. Second of all, it doesn't include the amount of food that's donated, the amount of clothing. Every Christmas, we have trees up here with mittens and hats and scarves. They're all knitted by members of our congregation. So again, thank you very much for our generosity. I'm going to take a look at some of the trends in the past few years and where we've come to in this particular situation. The last time that we had a surplus was in 2020. And thanks, Oliver, for putting this up. And you can take a look in 2020. You can see that we had, during COVID, financial assistance from the government for $53,000. Unfortunately, that's not continuing today. You can take a look at our net revenue, and it's pretty consistent and dipping in the last few years. The other thing I want to take a look at is our trustees. Trustees, from their finances and previous donations, give us a certain amount of money each year. And you can see that in later years, we had to look to alternate sources for funding. So if you can take a look at the rental in 2020, you can see it was $7,000. Up to date so far is over $46,000, and by the end of the year, it'll be well over $50,000. Fundraising in 2020 consisted of community concerts. You can see the revenue there was $6,800. And you all, later on when we get to the expenses, you'll see that the expenses for that was $6,000. So really we made $800 in fundraising. Now if you take a look at lately, because of the suppers that we've had and the donations that have come from those suppers, that was an alternate source of revenue and is very much appreciated. So, Oliver, if you can turn to the next slide, there is our expenses. Okay, so it indicates what our surplus or deficit is. And you can see in 2020, because of the government funding, we had a surplus of $8,000. Now, I want to take a look at our utilities here. Utility cost is $22,000 plus in 2020. And if you follow that line around, you can see in 2023, it was $43,000. We all know from our household expenses that utilities have gone up quite a bit. At that point, we decided that we were going to become more environmentally friendly, and we put in heat pumps in the church. And you can see in 2024 what the result of the impact of the heat pumps, that they've taken our utility expense from $43,000 to $30,000. And as of this year, there are just over $22,000. This church is, in the future, is going to require more and more repairs. There's a time before 2020 that not a lot of repairs were done. We're paying for it now. Well, now we have a great property committee, and you can see that our upkeep and repairs are increasing. The other thing I'd like to put out, this church is doing more and more outreach. COVID, we see the need for outreach and helping others in the community. And you can see how that expense has increased sizably. We've been very fortunate to have some very important government grants and private grants to help us out with that. So you might ask, why am I talking about it this time of year? We find in December that a number of people look to the future, and they want to make donations before the end of the year. And I would encourage you to do that. Our deficit right now is about $35,000. Also, at this time of year, people look on to 2026 and look to increase their donations accordingly. Costs go up every year. We would ask that you consider increasing your donations. So if you have any time, had any questions about our finances, please feel free to contact me through the office. Thank you very much.
I do want to say that Duncan does an amazing job of making sure that the stewardship of this church does go beyond the walls of the sanctuary and also directly affects the congregants. So, Duncan, for your ministry leadership in that, I think we give him a round of applause. It's a lot of work. And Duncan's not usually too cranky, so I like working with him. So that's awesome, too. That's really great. Today, you'll note that we don't have usually our faithful reminders person. Nancy's not here today, but she sent me an email for me to read something to you all. For information on the life and the work of Trinity and the community, please check the bulletin and also the newsletter. Yes, there are still copies at the doors of this wonderful newsletter with all the information happening right up until the new year. Anything that's happening in the church, what's going on, there's even some community things in there as well. So make sure you pick up a copy. We are hoping to have our website up and running. We're getting close to figuring out the gremlins on our website, but it's not quite there yet. Someone was having a little bit of fun with our website, not fun for us. Also, just a note that Trinity is blessed by the faithful disciples in our community of faith, and as Duncan had lifted up, so many volunteer hours. Amazing. And I don't even like calling them volunteer hours. I call them disciples. You're disciples. It's discipleship time. When you give up your time to a church, it's not just another community group. You are disciples, and you are the hands and feet of Christ in the world. So thank you for being those faithful disciples in our community of faith and your willingness to share your time, your talent, your treasures, and God bless you. And today we're reminded of that symbol as Gary brings forward the offering plate, a symbol of time, talent, and treasures, of pausing and giving back to one another. And for those who are able, please stand as we offer a blessing over our time, our talents, and treasures, knowing that Trinity United Church is making a difference not only within our congregation, but out into the world. Let us pray. Loving God, let us commit our hearts and our treasures to serving you with the whole body of Christ throughout this world. Amen. friends, join me in prayer, and let us pray. Loving God, we pray for the faithful all over the world, that all who love you may be united in your service. We pray for the church, for our witness and action together in and around Canada and with our global partners. May we continue to love and serve as Jesus taught, calling those on the margins to gather together for God's blessings. O God, know our hearts, we pray. We pray for the peoples and leaders of the nations that they may be reconciled one to another in pursuit of your justice and peace. We pray that our leaders, national, provincial, and local, may serve with humility and grace, remembering the needs around them of all peoples and all ages. We pray for all who suffer from prejudice, greed, or violence, that the heart of your humanity may warm with your tenderness. We pray especially for all prisoners of politics, of religion, for all refugees. We pray for the children of the world who face emotional, sexual, or physical violence. Help us challenge behaviors and attitudes that cause harm, and help us become advocates for a world that values children. Pray for the land, the sea, and the sky, that we may live with respect in creation and use your gifts with reverence. We pray that the generations beyond us will love and respect your blessings of creation. O God, know our hearts and love us, we pray. We pray for all who suffer the pain of sickness, loneliness, fear, or loss, that those whose names are in our hearts, in the hearts of others, or known to you alone, may receive strength and courage. And in the silence of our hearts, we name those dear to us and those we meet yet do not know. O God, know our hearts. Amen.
Let us go into the world daring to let children lead, partnering with friends and neighbors as we seek God's justice and peace. May God, who loves us from our burning cry, go with us. May Jesus, who welcomes us into relationship, stay with us. And may the Spirit's persistence call for peace be with us this day, this week, and always. Amen.